I have a great advantage up here, I can see that, because just with one sweep, I am able to say good morning to everyone, which I am doing at this moment, and then we will look into something in the scripture in Acts, closing chapters. Now, I've chosen a great hero, the Apostle Paul, because this is a very small section of his life, and there's so much more material that if anyone else in the weeks to come wishes to speak concerning Paul as a superhero, there's lots and lots of material. I've suggested to you this morning that I've taken the last four chapters because it is a complete story in itself. The arrest of Paul, his travels from Jerusalem as a prisoner all the way to Rome eventually. But 2 or 3 years and then a prisoner were all delays in his life. Here is the man who established churches throughout the Gentile world of that day and would enter into any synagogue and speak to the Jews concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the core message, the focus of the apostles of that day, and that is why the church grew so strong so fast. This delay in his life, how fruitful it really was, that's what we wish to see this morning in the minutes we have. And as you think of your own life, perhaps at this very moment, there are delays which you are wondering about. Could be a delay in relationship, could be a delay in the right career for you, or the right studies, purchasing the right property. Oh, there are so many. And day by day, with anxiety, sometimes we wonder why God has delays in our life. When all the time, He is the God of love. He's the all-wise, omnisapient God, the all-powerful God, omnibenevolent God, and wants to heap upon His children those good things. So we're going to see a little bit about the delays here of Paul. And first of all, we cannot really look at a lot of verses, maybe 2 or 3 only. But quickly I went down and made a list, and you can make your own list, of the topics of these chapters 24 to 28. Here are some of them. We find in those chapters, we find persecution, yet God's protection. We find His prayers and the promises of God. We find His testimony. Do you have a testimony? Paul spoke about his in 3 different ways. He spoke about how he was before he received Christ. He spoke about his testimony when and after he received Christ and how it was with him in his ministry. There are guidelines as you analyze that. So there is evangelism. There are apostolic acts, especially when we get to an island called Malta during a shipwreck. Apostolic acts. An apostle was a person who had seen the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, had been witnesses of His resurrection, and had been given with those 12 or more gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of that were prophetic, and gifts of preaching in a very special way. But those gifts are apostolic. They faded away. Yes, they faded away with the apostles. There was no successive line of apostles after. There were none who were named, but only that the teaching went to the church in general, speaking to glorify the same God as they have. There's also navigation in these chapters. It has been said that of all the documents of the first few centuries, the scripture has more concerning navigation in this last chapter than all the old antiquated documents and writings of the first and second centuries. We have it in our Bible. What a treasure it is. Climatology as well. We have Christology concerning the resurrection. We have theology. We see that God is infinite. He is sovereign. He is in control. God's sovereignty is the fact of his authority, the fact of his control over all things. But his providential attribute and activity is a working out of his sovereignty. And it is the manner in which he puts those things, those facts, into place in the universe and in the church and even in your life day by day. So why all the delays? We will see some of those. We could say that also there's much concerning the church life here, the church life in Rome. And in total, we have a book of 28 chapters which is unfinished. It could be called the Acts, rather, not of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is where the church was born. The church promised in Caesarea Philippi when Jesus said on this rock, on his deity, on himself, I will build my church. And we see it growing in this first century in an astounding way. So you have here then something of the work of the Holy Spirit, the acts of the Holy Spirit. There are not many apostles mentioned in Acts. Peter is mentioned quite strongly, but he disappears in chapter 15. We don't hear any more about Peter until we get into his writings. And at one point it says that he was found in Babylon. It doesn't say Rome. Perhaps it was a symbol of Rome. We're not sure. But nevertheless, there's a lot of tradition around Peter and Rome. Only tradition. We have Philip, we have others, and we have the Apostle Paul. And when we come to the end of this book, and so we have a few of the apostles mentioned. So Paul comes in fairly late, and Peter goes out. Through it all, we see, and I'd like to mention this morning, the attribute of God, which is his providence. That is his working out of his sovereignty and his will in your life and mine. He has given us all a free will to be here today. God is not the God of who even promotes evil or makes evil, but God sometimes permits evil in his providence that we see around us in our news every day. And we know ultimately there will be that great gathering and there will be that great victory. And meanwhile, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we hurry on, and we'll look at a few things here, I want to ask a question. Do you know, have you heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? I'm sure you have. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was born in April 1906. He died April 1946 before a firing squad. He was a highly esteemed, outstanding Christian professor throughout Germany, of course, and Europe, and New York, and London. But he chose to come back during the war, Second World War, to be with his people in Germany. He was sympathetic to a group who wished to eliminate Adolf Hitler. And because of that, he was taken prisoner. Another great delay in a great man's life. Why was this? There's three reasons that we benefit from. There's the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's over 500 pages, fine print. Take you 4 or 5 nights, perhaps, but in your armchair, but worth reading. Smaller book, which is something to do with the papers and the letters which he sent to his parents during his time in jail. Thirdly, there's that well-known booklet, which you may have in your library, The Cost of Discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, much like the Lord Jesus, much like Paul, who said, "I am crucified with Christ. I do not belong to myself, but I belong to Him, whose I am, whom I serve, the one who gave His life for me by the faith of Jesus Christ." Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it into these words. He said, "When God calls us," yes, He called the chapter 1 of John, He called those to come and see where He lived. He called, the Lord Jesus called them later to come and follow Him. He would make them fishers of men. He called them, His disciples, to take His yoke upon them and to learn of Him, because He was meek and He was gentle of heart. That's how He is for you today. Don't forget, He is a gentle Savior. And then he eventually called His disciples for breakfast. He says, "Come and dine." Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes a step further and he said, all of this coming together is that God bids us come to Him and die. That's startling, isn't it? Die to our own ambitions, die to ourselves. Follow the Lord, whatever the cost may be. And that is what we need today in the age in which we live. We need authentic Christians. You know, there's lots of cultural Christians. There's lots of nominal Christians out there. Yes, I'm a Christian. Oh, my father used to read the Bible after breakfast with us. Sunday school. Yes, I grew up in a Christian Sunday school. And there's a lot of nominal Christians who come to church. It's the culture. It was the culture of our families, the culture of the day, culture of our country. I live in a Christian country. But God is calling you today to be an authentic Christian, not a cultural Christian, but real and ready to follow Him, whatever may be. We're going to hurry along and see here, Paul, how that he was, what do we have, 15 after, something like that? Paul, dear brother Phil, when do we stop? 15 after, something like that? 1:30. I get tired. What I want to say, rush over to see why was Paul arrested. We know why Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested. And we're going to see why Paul was arrested. Oh, yes, it was because he preached the gospel. But there are three distinct verses in the scripture which tell us, and that is chapter 24 and verse 5. If you want to browse there for the moment, there are three things in which the Sadducees, because the Sadducees were the people who did not believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus or the resurrection a Christian from the dead. And so we find then that they opposed strongly the Apostle Paul's messages and who he was. They were the ones who were seeking to have him killed. So they said, they drew it all up, and the name of the lawyer is in this passage here, and you'll be able to find it. They said, "He is a troublemaker. He creates riots." Well, it was totally the opposite, because if you read in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, he said, "Be peaceable with all men." And then he goes into chapter 13 and he talks about the authority of the land and seeking to obey the authority to the point in which we don't trespass God's principles. The book of Titus also gives us the same words. 1 Peter also gives us the same words to remember the authority of which we are under at this present time. We know that the day is coming when it will be under the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the majesty, the beauty, the Savior. And all people will be drawn to Him, and that's a great story. So He then was not only a troublemaker according to them, but He was a ringleader of the Nazarenes. Who were the Nazarenes? Well, they had various areas we can't go into right now, but basically, a Nazarene was someone who followed Jesus of Nazareth. And while this was very true, partially true, that he spoke concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they used it as that which was in opposition to the Roman government. They also said, thirdly, a third reason, 3 points are always, God, threefold, what is it, the Old Testament? Cord cannot be broken. They thought they had it all summed up here, and so they said, oh, he desecrates the temple. He profanes the temple, was the third point. The reason for that is that in chapter 21, Paul invited some tourists. They were from Greece, and he wanted to show them the beauty of the temple. Well, they were allowed to go into the court of the Gentiles, but the Sadducees were watching, and they supposed, it says, supposed that he took them into the temple further and desecrated the temple by having others from other countries visit in that way into the holiest place that they had in Jerusalem. So Paul was taken in chains for his own safety. The Roman government was there, and they knew what was going to happen. And then we have the story of how that the nephew of Paul, a young man, it says, we don't know if he was 12 years old or 16 years old, but he sort of got around to places. He listened, and he heard some men talking. And he heard how that 40 men had vowed not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. So he ran to Paul. And Paul said to the commander in the barracks there where Paul was being held in Jerusalem, what about this? Well, I wonder, we can stop and wonder something here too when we think about something in between that's not mentioned in Scripture. I wonder if those men, 40 men, ever got around to eating and drinking. You think so? I think so. Later on. Because Paul, they couldn't reach him. God in his providence had his hand over Paul, and he was taken by the soldiers, by the Roman soldiers, to Caesarea. 70 men on horses, imagine that. Imagine the pomp and the ceremony for one captive. And then there were 200 men in front, soldiers, with all their beautiful armor and swords, and there were 200 spearmen behind. They were to travel something like 100 miles to a place called Caesarea Maritima. Not Caesarea Philippi, but Caesarea on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. It was a center of the activities of the government of Rome at its time. And so there Paul meets up with three different men to whom he speaks and gives his testimony. As we hurry along, we can read those verses. Scripture reading is more important than anything else that can be said up here. Acts chapter 24 tells me this. Oh, from verse 24 down, Felix came with his wife to listen to the faith that was mentioned by Paul. And he spoke and reasoned about righteousness, about self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. This is the governor. How wonderful he had an audience with the governor, whose name at this time was Felix. Agnes and I, we had a friend about half our age. And up to the end of June, she was looking after her son, who was in his mid-50s, who had cancer. Strong, big guy, an acquaintance of ours. Didn't see him very often. A businessman. But his mother had to look after him because he had severe cancer. But during this time in June, the mother, to our surprise, had this situation where She thought she had pneumonia and discovered she had cancer of the lungs. And she was gone in 21 days. It is still a shock to us. A mother who knew the Lord, loved the Lord, served the Lord, and had several daughters who knew the Lord. As far as this son is concerned, after the death of our friend, we sent word, said, look, we would like to visit with your brother. We would like to visit. Would you ask him? And you know who we are. He knows us. But he sent back the word in a more convenient time. It is not convenient for me at this time. And he would advise us. We waited. Then we went to his funeral. More convenient time. Is there a more convenient time for you to come to know the Lord today if you are not sure of your salvation? There is no better time than today, speaking to someone or coming forward and speaking to Phil and others concerning your soul. There are two other people mentioned here, and I must do them quickly. Not only Felix, who wished a more convenient time, but 2 years passed by, 2 years of delay again in Paul's life. And he's brought before Porcius Festus in chapter 26 and verse 24. I should read it. Because at that time, King Agrippa, who was over all of Judea, wanted to come and know who Paul was. He had heard about him. King Agrippa wanted to go to the governor's house, who is now Festus, Porcius Festus, and wanted to hear concerning Paul. So with all the pomp and ceremony and glory, with King Agrippa and with Festus, Paul stands the prisoner. And we understand, we can see that it is in chains. He is in chains. What a delay for the man who had explored the known world of his day. And in this portion of the Word of God, we have these words, that as Festus listened, 26 and verse 24, now the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. This was the attitude of Agrippa. Agrippa was sincere about his wishes to know concerning the faith of the Apostle Paul. But Festus, the host of the party, he speaks up loudly and he says, with a loud voice it says, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. And so he dismissed from his own heart any conviction that he may have had at that time. Those were the words almost that we have in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 20, where there you have the Lord Jesus speaking before the Sadducees. After speaking about himself as the door, as a shepherd, as the one who loves his sheep and can call his sheep and know them all by their names, some said, Jesus. He is mad. He has a demon. You think there are people like that today? I think so. They do not accept the Lord Jesus as God's Son, as God manifest in flesh, God incarnate that came into this world because man could not provide for himself a remedy, a redemption for his own sin. God and all his perfection had to come. How tremendous we have the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So Festus, you're out for the time being anyway. And then King Agrippa, he must make some kind of a statement. It was his desire to be there at that present time. And yet those words which you've heard over and over again, he said, Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Almost. Friends, this morning, May I suggest to you that even now, and in a day to come, in a lost eternity, these will be the words which will be most heard. Almost persuaded. Yes, perhaps they may say persuaded in Sunday school, come to know the Lord as Savior, or my family, or what I read, or what I heard. I was almost persuaded. Those will be the words in a lost eternity, the same as King Agrippa. So this morning you have an opportunity of sitting beside someone there and opening the Word of God and not be almost persuaded, but be totally persuaded that you are a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the situation where they went quickly to Rome, and we'll finalize here quickly, on a ship, 276 people on a small ship, storms every day, over 1,000 miles, and seeking shelter at certain places. Crete is an island, Cyprus another island, all 700 or 800 miles apart, and about 1,000 miles on to Malta, and then which is at the toe of the boot of Italy, place where my wife's father comes from. Malta and the toe of the boot of Italy. Now then, I thought this morning, I was thinking of this, and I thought, that's my father-in-law. He always liked to wear boots. That's because he would live near the boot. I know. He liked boots. That's a good thing. We sell boots, by the way. Now, so Cyprus, Crete, and Malta. You know, with these 276 people on board who did not lose their lives as the ship was breaking up, people would say, what luck, tremendous luck. These people never lost their lives. That is what the atheist would say. That's what the pantheist would say. But you as a theist, as a Christian, you would say it was providential. God in his providence, his overall manner and way of working gently in the lives of each one. During the Second World War, and I close with this, in the Gospel Chapel where I came out from the West and met Agnes, and where we got married later on in Vancouver, a family arrived from Montreal. The name, last name was Burling. This family arrived, and the gentleman was a fine Christian, and he wanted to paint above the stage here. He wanted to paint a few words, which he did beautifully. Surely I come quickly. Words that are mentioned three times in the last chapter of Revelation. In your Bible, if it's the NIV, it'll say, and I will come very soon. This is what is in the scripture. This man wrote those, and every once in a while his son would come home from the war and be with the family. But while he was back in the events of the day in North Africa, in Italy, and other places where he was well known, he would not go out with the boys as much and have parties. He would lie in his cot, and he would think of of vision. He would think of speed of wind. He would think of distance and all those things, and he became Buzz Burling, the great ace of the last war. Buzz Burling changed the whole situation in the providence of God, because Malta was receiving a bomb for every person on that little island. 3,000 air raids from Italy and Germany. They wanted that place, that strategic place for their advance into Europe and other places. But Buzz Burling, within 2 weeks, shot down 28 enemy planes. Did God use them? I don't know. It shortened the war there. It shortened the number of people who would die. And in other places, God in his providence. So what is God doing in your life and mine now this morning? He who is coming soon, what are the delays? To Paul, he was able to witness to royalty. To Paul, he witnessed to 276 sailors and others. And to those in Malta, where he was bitten by a snake, which fulfilled the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. It speaks there of who were the apostles. They would have the danger at maybe times of drinking poison they didn't know, or being bitten by serpents. This was fulfilled in the life of Paul, because he was an apostle in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. I know the certain manuscripts don't mention that. Vaticanus doesn't mention it, but the older manuscripts do mention Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. So also in prison, what has he given us for you and for me today but the prison epistles? We may not have had them otherwise. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. All those beautiful books Paul gave us during his delay. And to the Roman churches and so on. But anyway, is there a delay in your life that you've wondered about for weeks, days, months? Take courage and see the hand of God day by day. See why the delay, and he will receive glory from that. But over and above all, let's not be this morning like Agrippa. This king with all his brilliance, intelligence, and helpers, all his ceremony, he still wanted to worship his idol, Caesar, back in Rome. Almost persuaded. May no one be here this morning almost persuaded, for there's an opportunity of receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life. He has paid it all.